Hello, welcome back. So, had a little break, about a week off, just over Easter. So if you've been waiting for this episode, I apologise. If not, and you're just listening through, because you were slightly behind, then you won't even have noticed the break. I'm going to mention something really quickly. If you are listening in April of 2024, I've just opened up access to a six-week intensive training course that I am running. If that interests you, visit my social media pages and have a little look on there. Obviously, if you are not listening to this at that time, in April of 2024, that is long gone and you have missed it. But keep an eye on my social media, as I'm sure other bits and pieces are out and about, depending on what time you are listening to this. But we carry on with the book. And the next chapter is called Methods of Tracking Progress. So I'm just going to get straight into it. It is a middle-ish in terms of duration. So, Methods of Tracking Progress. Now, on to one of the more important chapters of the book, how to monitor your progress. There are various ways and means of monitoring progression. Some are more subtle, suitable than others. Some also cause more issues than good, even though progress is being made. Methods you have available include scale weight, body fat measurements, anthropometrical measurements, which just means measurements of arms, legs, things like that. Photographs, body mass index scales, clothes fitting, and the list goes on. I'm going to cover one or two of the more common methods and explain the positives and negatives. First up, scale weight. Quite possibly the most controversial method, likely because it is A, the most common, and B, the easiest way. Yes, the scales are a good indication of progression, depending on how you use them. That might sound a little strange. Surely you just stand on them. Yes, but there are such a variety of influences that can affect your scale weight that sometimes they can give off false readings. Not that the numerical value is wrong, but what it represents. Your body weight is not a direct indication of your body fat. On the whole, a very good guide, but your body weight is simply your gravitational pull towards the centre of the Earth as a number. It goes up and down, and very rarely, if it all goes down in a linear fashion. The scales can read differently depending on the time of day you step on them, the environmental factors, the types of food you've eaten the day before, water content, stress levels. Again, the list goes on. A prime example of the problem surrounding scale weight. You can step on the scale. Let's say, for example, it says 70 kilos. You can step off, go and drink 1 litre of water, and 5 minutes later step back on. Have you consumed any calories? No. Has your weight gone up on the scales? Absolutely. The scale now reads 71 kilos. See the issue here? Have you put on any body fat in those 5 minutes? No. Have you done anything bad? No. If anything, you have improved your condition by hydrating, which can have a positive influence on fat loss. Due to the varying nature of body weight, weight scales should be used as a guide and a guide only. If you're going to use scales, my recommendation is that you weigh yourself every day, same time, same place, and as near as the same conditions as you can. You need to be able to step on the scales with no emotion, as you are just using the data as feedback, nothing else. Record and monitor weight daily and calculate averages for the week. Over time, you will see a rise, a reduction, or no change in body weight. You can use this over time as a guide to adjust calories if required. Do not adjust calories on a day-to-day basis. If the scale is 2 kilograms heavier, say on a Tuesday than a Monday night. Point to note here, for females, your scale weight will change dramatically through your menstrual cycle, largely put down to emotional eating, stress, and hormonal makeup of the body. The worst thing you can do for either males or females is weighing yourself weekly. See the table below. What I've got here is a table that says Sunday to Sunday, and it's got the different weights on there. 70, 69, 68, 69, 67, 67, 69, 71, and an average of 68.5. Moving back onto the writing. You can see that the value on the second Sunday is 1 kilogram heavier than the previous. However, the average for the week is 68.5 kilograms. You can clearly see how weighing weekly can give false representation and certainly demotivate individuals who have been following the correct nutrition and exercise plan for the week. The rise in body weight could simply be down to better hydration. Basically, what that is trying to say is take an average for the week. Because it goes up and down, you could weigh yourself on one Sunday and be 70 kilos, and then all your next scores could be below 70. And then on the next Sunday, your next scale weight could be 71. So you think it's actually gone up a kilogram, but actually your average is not. Your average was 68.5 kilograms, just to make that make a bit more sense to those listening. Body fat measurements. There are many ways to measure body fat. You can use calipers, which basically pinch the skin. You can use a bioelectrical impedance analysis, which sends electrical impulses around your body to assess lean mass and fat mass. There are DEXA scanners, which is dual energy X-ray absorptiometry, which is very costly. You also have hydrostatic underwater weighing, again very expensive. The use of calipers can be accurate if you have an experienced professional taking the measurements, although this can be quite invasive and involves pinching layers of body fat from several sites of the body. The bioelectrical impedance analysis also comes with just as many negatives as positives, although probably the most accessible method on today's market. Just like body weight scales, the data can vary quite a bit. The setup is similar to that of scales, where you stand on the plate and often hold a handle and the electronic signal is sent around the body and the results displayed. Like the scales, either measure consistently and record averages or not at all. One of my more favoured methods is using a tape measure and measuring body parts. For example, waist, hips, thighs, arms, etc. This will give clear indications of changes in body size. Distinguishing between lean mass and fat mass changes can be difficult, but overall size differences will be obvious. Ensure you measure at the same sites every time you measure. Photographs. Again, a very good method of monitoring progress. Taking photos in the same conditions, time, place, lighting, camera, distance, etc., and comparing two photos from different times can give a clear indication of visual differences. It is likely you will refuse to notice subtle differences in yourself because of being overcritical. A good timeline between photos is around 8 weeks. Anything shorter than this and the changes may be minimal. And again, the motivation to continue will be reduced. Lastly, the fit of clothes. Possibly the cheapest method of measuring, unless you are being really successful in your weight loss journey and you have to buy a smaller size clothing on a regular basis. I make no apology for that. If this book guides you to a smaller size clothing, Having a set of clothes and judging the fit is a really good method of measuring. If clothes are getting baggy and loose, that is an obvious sign your body is changing. It is also one of the most satisfying, rather than just going off numerical data. The feeling of being able to fit into clothes you couldn't before is very fulfilling. Right, we'll hold there. I told you it was a reasonably shorter one. Hopefully there's some use. Like I say, monitoring progress is one of the most important things you can do, especially calculating those averages over time, is it lets you course correct as you are going along. Obviously, if you put in some calories and you consume some calories and the average for a week has over 2 weeks has gone up, then you know you need to correct something somewhere, whether that's less food or more activity. So monitoring progress and tracking is one of the most important things. We do it in most things in life, bank balance and things like that. So why not do it with your health and fitness? Well, hold it there. The next chapter is Slow and Steady Wins the Race, which from my memory is all about the tortoise and the hare. So we've got that to look forward to. Once again, thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next one.